Well, the problem of me getting saved was all back to front, because when the Lord first revealed himself to me, it was that I should become a missionary. I was at school at the time, and God called me. I think it was an external voice, I can hardly say what, but he definitely indicated I was to go to Africa as a missionary, and this sent me into a panic. I wasn't a religious boy, I hadn't thought much of serving the Lord or anything, but because of this, I then began to look for a way in which I should serve, because I didn't know what a missionary did. But it wasn't until about 2.5 years later, when I was at university, that I met somebody who was able to explain to me about the way of salvation, and through him, I came to a personal faith in Christ. And that which the Lord had originally spoken became real, and then I knew that I had to go and serve the Lord. And later the Lord led me to Africa, and I served him there for 16 years, largely in evangelistic work, and also in training men and women for evangelistic work, working in teams, and the humbling experiences of having to work in a cross-cultural situation, living day by day with people of another race. But then the Lord has led us away from the area in which we were working in Africa, and we have come on the Logos by an unorthodox way. We didn't apply, as most do. We are not volunteers. We were press gangs. And we received an invitation, a pressing invitation, from the director of the ship, Dave Hicks, whether we could possibly detach ourselves for a year from Africa. But the letter arrived inviting us the day after I returned from Britain, when it was finalized that we should be seconded to Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. And in this we saw it was a sign from the Lord that this was possibly of him. Then we had dramatic indications from the Lord, one after another, to indicate that it was right that we come for a year on the Logos before returning to Britain. And so we've come to the Logos basically with two ministries in mind. One is in the line of ministry in ports to which we go, largely with a thrust in world evangelization, and also on the ship in a pastoral way. And now on the ship I am in charge of what is called the study program, and it does involve quite a bit of counseling and dealing with people personally.
Thank you. What would you say, Patrick, as a parting word to the Australian Christians who will listen to this cassette eventually? I know this is a rather on-the-spot thing to say to you too, but with what you've seen in Brisbane, what you've now experienced in Sydney, and we hope a tremendous turnout and interest in Melbourne, what would you like to leave with us in Australia?
Well, I feel that generally speaking, like in many countries in the Western world, there is a general feeling of discouragement and withdrawal, when this is a time for enthusiasm and advance. I don't believe that the time of missions is over, because the Word of God is against that thought, and I believe there is a lot more that Australia can do, especially for Southeast Asia, which is so close by, and for the immigrant peoples here in Australia. And I feel that this is a time when the Christians should really start praying and advancing. But there's not enough of 100% committal to the Lord, and this I would love to see more, just as I would love to see it in my own country. I don't say that Australia is any different, but we form part of a worldwide pattern as far as the Western world is concerned, and this would be my longing, to see young people motivated to serve the Lord and not to be concerned about the future in the sense of seeking material benefits, but rather to put God first, and he will take care of each one who does.
Thank you, Patrick. One final question, and this is a question we have been asking everyone on ship today in our chats with them. From you as a pastoral study leader and your personal counseling, what do you feel is when this statement is made, I've taken Jesus as Savior and also as Lord? What is implied by full committal of taking Christ Jesus as Lord in life?
Well, that could mean many things, but basically, I think our relationship to our Lord is not just as friend or a child of God, but also, as the scripture indicates, as a slave. We have no right to anything. We have no right to what we consider our essential things. The Lord Jesus is our master, and he has absolute right to dispose of us as he will, though he will never do it in any way that is contrary to his complete and absolute love for us. And so, basically, everything that I have and am should be under his lordship. He should be guiding me in all that I do. And I think this is one of the most important things, that people today are not really seeking God's guidance. They seem to think it's for a super spiritual section of Christians rather than everyone who is born of God.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate that. And I trust now, as you leave for Melbourne and then settling eventually back into what you now feel is God's calling to WEC or WEC, that you'll be tremendously encouraged, as we have been, by coming to meet up with the folk on Bogus and what we have seen and heard. So the numbers may not have been what we would have liked to have been, but I feel a lot of us have been challenged in a new and different way, and it's been a real joy to be here. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, praise the Lord.